Last week we had a rather heated discussion about kids getting too much homework in schools.
It was spirited.
I spoke about it in first-person experience because my daughter, a 12-year-old seventh grader, comes home from school and rarely has less than 2.5-3 hours of work to do. If we were going by the 10 minutes of homework per grade thing, we'd be talking about 70 minutes of homework. That's an hour and 10 minutes. She's up to double, sometimes triple that on a daily basis. And I've always contended that this is robbing her of the opportunity to be a kid. I mean, I don't get enough daddy-daughter time with her. She doesn't get enough time to go hang out with her friends after school, ride her bike on a beautiful day, all the rest of it. And she does have some after-school activities that she does a couple days a week. But I can't imagine what it's like for kids who have music lessons and they play two sports and all those sort of things.
Band, right.
I can't imagine how they possibly are getting things accomplished and still getting to bed at a reasonable enough time that they're ready to go to school again the next morning. Somebody who was listening to the show last week recommended to me a new book called The Case Against Homework, How Homework is Hurting Our Children and What We Can Do About It. It was written by Sarah Bennett and Nancy Kalish. I looked at the book, thought it was terrific. I've invited Nancy to come on the show today and talk about it. Welcome to KMOX.
Thanks. Hi there. It's great to be on the air with you. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. So from your viewpoint, what is the case against homework? What's wrong with homework?
Well, first of all, my daughter was going through exactly the same thing in middle school herself and was getting 3 hours of homework every night. And the first thing that happened is it turned me into a complete homework cop, which I didn't want to be. And we started arguing over it because, of course, she was procrastinating and didn't want to do it. But even more alarming was the fact that my daughter, who used to love school, started to say she hated school. And I really, alarm bells started going off in my head. And I started to look into the research behind homework. And, you know, it turns out that 180 studies that were reviewed by Duke University, they show that there's almost no correlation between homework and any kind of achievement, especially in elementary and middle school, and only a moderate correlation in high school. And even in high school, after 2 hours, it starts to diminish any benefits. And so it's really not all it's cracked up to be.
But you're not saying all homework is bad. You're agreeing with me that too much homework is bad.
Well, I guess there's too much in the quantity-wise, and some of the quality is also pretty poor. I mean, it's one thing to be doing 70 minutes of high-quality reading or critical analysis for an essay, let's say, and it's another thing to be doing reams and reams of math problems when you already understand it, or when you don't understand it and, you know, you're doing 50 problems and perhaps reinforcing the wrong method into your brain. So it's basically the quantity is too high and sometimes the quality is very low.
All right, Nancy, Carol and Kevin are going to jump in here, and I'm going to invite my listeners to do the same at 314-436-7900, toll-free 800-925-1120. Let me just give you some of the devil's advocate arguments, which I know you've heard before, and you probably have your answers ready to go, but that's my job.
Sure.
If we don't give kids homework, they're going to fall behind kids in other countries. This is a global economy now, and kids overseas are getting a lot more homework than our kids are, and they're just going to have to learn that life isn't supposed to be easy.
Well, you know, that's an argument that a lot of Americans believe. And so two professors of education from Penn State University last year did a global study of 46 countries. First of all, they found that there was absolutely no correlation between the amount of homework or even how well students in that country did in school with that country's global economy. But even more interesting, they found out that many of the countries that have the highest achievement scores on these international tests, such as Denmark, the Czech Republic, and believe it or not, Japan, actually give less homework than we do here in the United States. And the countries that give the most homework had the worst scores. Those include Greece and Thailand and Iran. So it doesn't necessarily follow. In Japan, they actually have started a policy in the late 1990s of eliminating homework in elementary school. And contrary to what we might think, that the Japanese math teachers actually give 7th and 8th graders a total of 1 hour of math homework per week, not per night like so many American teachers do.
Wow.
So, and Nancy, I have no less than 750 questions for you. Seriously.
Okay.
Now, one of them...
By the way, if you can't figure those during our hour here today, you'll have to take them home and work on them tonight, Nancy, and report back to us tomorrow.
I think for the benefit of everyone involved, what is your background, Nancy, other than being a parent, as you mentioned, which is a great quality?
Right. Well, I'm a parenting writer. I've been doing articles for parenting magazines for a long time. I'm well-versed in child development. And frankly, I used to be a true believer in homework, and I used to write the articles for all the, you know, for Parenting and Child and all the rest of those magazines about how to get your kid to knuckle down and do it. I'm ashamed to say that until my own child started to have problems and started to hate school, because of her homework overload, I never really looked into the research behind the homework. Once I did, I was astounded and really furious because I always had faith that the schools would never put us through something like this without having incredibly good reason. And, you know, it turns out that they don't.
Well, I was going to ask you, too, Nancy, that this doesn't seem to make sense that people who work in education aren't paying attention to the studies that would enable them to improve what they do. It just seems like it's the old cliche that we should do it because we've always done it, but it's just like anything else. If you exercise too much, that's going to end up harming you. If you eat too much, it's going to harm you, and it's the same thing with this. Why don't people in the establishment seem to get that?
Well, that's so true, Paul, but, you know, it's not that surprising, again, once you start to look into it. Homework is one of those things that people just sort of have always or have accepted for quite a while, and so they just go ahead and give it. But more to the point, we surveyed hundreds and hundreds of teachers for our book, The Case Against Homework, and I was absolutely astonished when only one out of those hundreds claimed to have ever taken a course specifically on homework in their teacher training. Then we interviewed top education professors, the heads of the departments at Harvard, Stanford, Penn State, Duke University, and we found out that, you know what, that's because they don't give courses specifically on homework. And the professor at Duke, the head of the education department, actually told me that teachers are winging it. And that's a direct quote.
You know, I would bet that if you ask most teachers, they would like to cut down on homework because the more homework they give, the more homework they have to grade.
That's right.
Let me go to the phones here. Paul, you're on KMOX. Say hi to Nancy Kalish.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi.
How are you? I just want to say I have a fifth grader and a seventh grader, and the amount of homework, we're averaging anywhere from 2 to 3 hours per night. And I think what's changed, I guess when I was used to homework, it was you either had a reading assignment or you had some problems to do, et cetera. But I think a lot of the teachers that we're getting seem to enjoy a lot of projects. A lot of projects, not so much as a book report or something like that. The kids actually have to build models. They have to build, you have to use the poster board, and everything has to be elaborate. And they just spend a lot of time. What happens, it's not really my child's project. It becomes a parent's project.
All right, I have a theory on that, but let me have Nancy answer first.
Oh, those devilish dioramas and models and poster boards. I mean, we actually asked readers for our book to send in the worst projects ever. We got one kid had to do the Pledge of Allegiance out of macaroni. Another had to build the Pentagon out of popsicle sticks. I mean, where is the educational value? And you're right, they turn into parent projects because, frankly, a lot of parents, you know, are sort of very competitive and they don't want their kid to turn in what a 10-year-old can actually do because every other parent is involved.
But is that the school's problem or the teacher's assignment issue or the parents?
I'll give you the real answer. Let me jump in here because here's the real answer, Nancy.
Yes.
All of those projects are designed for four words. Back to school night. It's so when you as a parent go to the school, oh, there's my daughter's poster. Oh, there's her mobile. Oh, look at these dioramas. Aren't they cute? Oh, look at what they're learning in this class. Otherwise, learning isn't visual. This makes learning visual for the parents when they go into the classroom. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I know. I think you're absolutely right. And what we really would suggest is that these projects be done at school. First of all, the supplies are outrageously expensive, you know. And it would be much better to have them done at school where they can be supervised by the teacher. The teacher can ask her questions. The teacher can unjam the glue gun. And then teachers will really also have to accept what a 10-year-old can actually do. And that will have to be good enough rather than what that 10-year-old's parents can do.
Nancy, hold on. We'll come back with more in just a moment. There's a link on harrisonline.com to her book. Sarah Bennett and Nancy Kalish put it together. It's called The Case Against Homework, How Homework is Hurting Our Children and What We Can Do About It. Nancy, what did you do about it in the case of your child?
Well, first of all, basically, I went in and talked to the teacher, and then along with Sarah, the two of us organized parents at our school to get the middle school to revamp its homework policies, which they did, because once they realized that the parents really weren't happy about it, they cut down on the amount of homework, they eliminated Monday tests, they eliminated vacation homework. So there's plenty that parents can do. And that's really, but the first thing, which actually is the first thing I did, and is the most, one of the most important steps, is to admit that your kid is actually having a problem and go in and talk to the teacher. So many parents are really, you know, loath to fess up that their kid is up at 11 o'clock at night still having a meltdown over homework, and it's just not working for them. They're afraid their kid will be labeled a slacker or a problem, or they'll be labeled a troublemaker. But often, you know, we found when we interviewed hundreds of teachers for this book, and we found out that basically a lot of them are unaware of the havoc that the homework is wreaking at home at night. So they really want, it's not the teacher's fault, they really want the kids to have a positive educational experience. And often they have no idea how long the homework is taking the kids. So basically you have to go in and talk to the teacher. And the second thing is you can't just go in and say, oh, you know, this homework is making my kid miserable. What are you going to do about it? In our book, we have a lot of sample emails and dialogues and letters to help you connect with the teacher in a non-confrontational way and, you know, actually work together towards a solution. And many of the parents that we interviewed were really surprised to find out that often all they have to do is go and talk to the teacher in a cooperative way and ask for the homework load to be lightened. And you know what? Often when they explained what was going on at home, like I said, the teacher wants the child to have a positive educational experience, not to hate school. Often what happens is the teacher lightens the load not only for that kid, but for the entire class.
Well, that's great if you can get that done, but I'm sure you also ran into teachers who were resistant to that and insisted that homework was an important part of what they were trying to do in the school, and that it had to be done so that they could reinforce concepts and that sort of thing. What do you do when you run into that resistant teacher?
A lot of teachers are not up on the research, unfortunately. Again, it's not their fault. They simply weren't trained in it during their teacher training. So sometimes, all it takes is bringing up the research and showing that there is no basis and a correlation between homework and achievement, especially in elementary and middle school. Other times, you have to take it to the next level. And again, in the case against homework, we have really step-by-step strategies for how to go to the principal, how to organize parents in your school. And sometimes one of the things that is very easy, personally, I'm sort of a non-activist type, and I would rather, you know, do anything than go in and
be confrontational.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So sometimes one thing that parents can do is get all the email addresses of all the parents in their kids' class at the beginning of the year. And when your child comes home with an assignment that really is just ridiculous, like one that comes to mind and should be coming up soon again, is counting and graphing your Halloween candy. This is a typical second grade assignment, which no kid wants to do after coming home from trick-or-treating and overindulging in candy corn. So if you get a couple of parents to email and say, you know, we're not going to have our kids do this, our kids are up too late, they're all hyped up from Halloween, and you get them to send 3 or 4 emails all together to the teacher, then the teacher may have to, you know, sort of start to reconsider and say, maybe that assignment wasn't such a good idea.
Hey, we have a different assignment at Halloween in my house, which is get away from the candy until Daddy goes through it. Daddy will take the M&Ms and Three Musketeers, and then you can have the candy corn, all the candy corn you want, because Dad can't stand it.
Nancy, there is one point, and I do believe in homework where, when it is appropriate and creative, and I do believe that reinforcement is necessary. But two things. I am wondering, we haven't addressed what's going on in the classroom, perhaps, that is leading teachers, we suppose, to assign homework. And secondly, with some of the assignments you talked about in the book, like reading logs, I don't buy the example that, you know, kindergartners are filling out the reading log. And all I can talk about is what my kids have gone through. And the reading log was something parents filled out and signed and the kids read or read with you. So I didn't find that to be a good example. But what's going on in the classroom, you think?
Okay, well, let me address both. Yeah, what's going on in the classroom is that basically the poor teachers are incredibly overworked. They have large classes. They have a lot of material to get through, especially if they're preparing for No Child Left Behind tests. So basically, it's true, they're not getting to all the material, and they feel they do have to assign it as homework. But I don't think that homework is necessarily the answer to that. I mean, again, it's going to take quite a huge shift in education policy to make some long-term, across-the-board national changes. But one of the things that would be a good idea is to have after-school programs where kids could do some academics but also get a chance to run around and exercise, which is also something they're missing out sorely in school, and maybe make up for some of that shortfall in the classroom during the day.
Well, Nancy, I was thinking about this, and as we're talking about all these things, about what parents can do, and obviously the teachers have a heavy workload and a lot going on, and they may not receive this training.
Yes.
Where's the Department of Education in all of this? Because wouldn't they be the ones that are looking at these studies, processing the information, and then saying, you know what, we need to get to all of the teachers' unions, and we need to make this part of the deal because it's not helping the kids?
Well, you would think that they haven't taken that action. And in fact, what's happening across the board is people who are not educators, but people who are politicians instead are making these kinds of decisions. What's even more shocking is that there's really no homework standard here in the United States. You would think, based on the research, or even if they were ignoring the research, that they would have some rule and some standards that would apply across the board, but they don't. In fact, only 35% of all U.S. schools and U.S. school districts actually have written homework policies. And even then, they're extremely vague. So there really is, the U.S. Department of Education is not taking any kind of action on this. And I agree with you. I really think they should.
All right, let's go to the phones. Rick, you're on KMOX. Say hi to Nancy Kalish.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi.
Great show, great topic. And I have a question for you. Living the life of some of the parents you're talking about,
okay.
Wondering if there's been any question regarding the possible connection between all the increased diagnoses of ADHD in kids and all this homework stress.
Well, you bet. Actually, there's a really interesting study that just came out from the Yale this year that said that more preschoolers and kindergartners are being expelled from school than ever before. In fact, more than in all the grades 1 to 12 combined, and more are being diagnosed with ADHD than ever before. And I think it's all related. Kindergarten and first grade are more academic. These kids are already sitting still all day for hours. Art, phys ed, music, all of those things have been eliminated during the school day to make more room for academic instruction. There's no nap time. There's no snack. I spoke to a kindergarten teacher who said their kids are in tears by the end of the day. And then to go home and ask these kids to do more, well, no wonder they're acting out and burning out and acting as if there's something wrong. There is something wrong.
Do you have a percentage of the school's kindergarten that are without naps and without snacks and, as you said, coming home crying? Do you have that sense of...
I don't, but you know what was really interesting?
That's anecdotal evidence?
I don't. It's anecdotal evidence, but I have to say I was not prepared to find this, and I interviewed kindergarten teachers around the country, and including professors of education who trained preschool and kindergarten teachers, and they all were telling me the same things. I'm sure in some places it's much worse than others, but it really has gotten the problem is, see, that basically kindergarten is now the new first grade, where we used to learn how to read by the end of first grade. Now kids are required to learn how to read by the end of kindergarten. That puts a lot of pressure on kids, especially, and the teachers, because most of them are not developmentally ready. So it starts off, they, instead of feeling great about school, and they love school, and maybe even they love the little amount of homework that they're asked to do at the end of the day, instead, when they can't live up to these standards and learn how to read on a particular schedule, the way politicians have told them they have to learn how to read, they end up feeling like failures. And they end up getting very angry.
Yep.
They know they're not living up to it. So that's what leads into these diagnoses. And frankly, these kids getting expelled, which is horrible. Can you imagine how that's going to make a kid feel about school to be expelled in kindergarten?
Yeah, unbelievable. Rick, I'm glad you called. By the way, when I was in high school, I tried to convince my mom that C was the new A. she never went for that. Andrew, you're on KMOX. Hello.
Hi.
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 I'm a sophomore at Parkway West High School,
mm-hmm.
and it's very nice to hear that some adults have sympathy for us students.
Mm-hmm. How much homework do you have on an average day, Andrew?
Probably like 3.5 hours.
Mm.
Oh.
And I'm in a couple of honors classes, and I think that after going to school for 7 hours a day, and then I play soccer too, so after that, I'm just worn out, and I don't need to spend 3.5 more hours.
If you had, say, an hour or maybe an hour and a half of work to do, and it was really meaningful work, you wouldn't have a problem with that, would you?
I would encourage myself to do it. I'd love to do it because I would be motivated because I would be probably paying more attention to it, and I'd probably be learning more.
Yeah. Andrew, let me get Nancy's reaction, and then I'll move on here. I'm glad you called. Thank you.
The problem isn't a couple of hours of high-quality homework, as you were proposing. The problem is that homework, and it's not always high quality, believe me, has taken over these kids' lives. He has time to play soccer, but I bet he doesn't have time to have dinner with his family, or at least not all the time. And I was really heartbroken to find out that a huge University of Michigan study showed that the single strongest predictor of high achievement scores, but not only high achievement scores, better behavior, less drug use, better nutritional habits, was the family dinner. And when I read that, my heart sank because my daughter had not made it to the dinner table more than half a dozen times during that school year. And it's time that we let our kids have full lives, full rounded lives, have dinner with their families, do sports, and still have an education.
Paul Harris in the studio with Carol Daniel and Kevin Wheeler, and on the phone, Nancy Kalish, the co-author of The Case Against Homework. By the way, your follow-up book, Nancy, should be The Case Against Incredibly Heavy Backpacks.
<You're> right. That's yet another side effect of the whole thing.
We're going to have a whole generation growing up with, you know, compressed discs because they carry home 40 pounds of books every day. Let me go back to the phone calls here. Lisa, you're on KMOX. Hello.
Hi, Paul.
Hi.
Oh, my goodness. Every call I hear, I keep having a response. I finally had to call, and I don't know where to start. But I'm going to start with, I'm a parent of a kindergartner, a first grader, a ninth grader, and an 11th grader, and I teach high school.
Okay.
Wow. And I want to, I'm sorry, hi.
Hi.
I wanted to start with the kindergarten issue. And I don't know what kindergarten the book is referring to, but in Missouri it's a state law that kindergartners take naps. That is a state law, and I know that both of my kids, my youngest, when they were in kindergarten, took naps.
I can't believe that when they get older, they stop taking naps. I can tell you at 48, the only thing I want to do is take a nap. Anyway, go ahead, Lisa.
And my other comment is this. I teach an honors science course in a public high school, local school, and I assign homework, and it's absolutely essential for kids to go home and reinforce what they've learned. They need the independent practice. There are things in an honors course that we don't need to spend time in class that the kids can work on at home, and then we can do the higher level group activities during class. But as a teacher, I assign homework. The really quick kid might do it in 5 minutes. The average kid might do it in 20, but there may be kids in that class for whom it takes an hour to do the homework because, you know, they've chosen to challenge themselves with an honors course.
All right, Nancy?
Well, I agree. I mean, if they've chosen to challenge themselves with an honors course and they're in high school, first of all, most of the homework that is hitting kids hardest, there, the kids are in elementary and middle school. But if they've chosen it and it's high-quality homework, yes, of course. The problem is a lot of it isn't high-quality homework, not in your class, certainly, but what a lot of our kids are getting. Of course not. And, you know, one thing I'd like to mention, because Paul brought up at the beginning of the show that this 10 minutes per grade level per night rule, which is endorsed by the National Education Association, which you probably know is an association of more than 2 million educators, I propose limiting homework to that 10 minutes per night per grade level rule. So 10 minutes for a first grader, 70 minutes for a seventh grader, up to a max of 2 hours per night for a high schooler. And the reason is, I think it would, all teachers like yourself would be, they need to think about how to pack the most learning into the time when kids can really focus on it and get something out of it. They'd have to, the assignments would all have to be valuable rather than any kind of afterthoughts. And that would really enhance the education and be a really good step towards making the homework engaging, challenging, educational.
Absolutely.
Cut down on the busy work.
Lisa, I'm glad you called. Nancy, thank you for your time today. It's a terrific book, The Case Against Homework, How Homework is Hurting Our Children and What We Can Do About It. Nancy Kalish here on The Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX.